James chapter number 1, and we'll begin in verse number 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brother, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to him, that to them that love him. Verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us as we rightly divide the scripture tonight. Lord, how important it is to get an understanding of this and to really grasp, dear God, the precepts and principles that the Bible contains. And Lord, and what a wonderful explanation in the book of James here. What a great starting point to help us just understand what temptation is. And Lord, as we go forward in the weeks ahead, I pray that you'll help us, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Nathaniel's doing an excellent job on his violin, and I was just so pleased to hear that. And I'm going to use that as opening illustration. I was grasping for something, okay? What's something I've learned or something that I haven't learned that maybe I'd like to learn? And I can sit out here and appreciate what he did, but I have to confess this. I have no idea how to pick up that instrument and make it make those sounds. Now, I can make most of those sounds, not just in the sequence in the proper order that they should be made. And so at some point, if he was going to get to the point where he could come up and do this, then he had to pick up this instrument and he had to say, okay, I've got to figure this thing out. I've got to find out how it works. And I've got to figure out how I can get it to do the things that I want it to do. And so I look at the violin and I can appreciate it, but honestly, I'm pretty ignorant of how it works and how to get it to do that. And yet he's not. He's learned it. Now, is he still learning? Yes. Has he made it? Nope. Is he perfect at it? No. And you know what? That's a good illustration for what we're going into tonight. I think sometimes, especially new Christians, and I'm really kind of honestly sometimes... You find people that have been saved for some time that when it comes to temptation, they know what it is. I know what a violin is, but they really do not have much of an understanding of how it works. And folks, if you don't understand how something works, it's hard to deal with it. It's hard to know how to handle it. And so I promise you, if you'll just stay with me on this, we're going to take it a step at a time. I'll probably preach, like I said, 5, maybe 6 messages this month, and they're just going to build on each other. But so aren't you lucky? You got in for the first one, the ground floor. And I want to talk to you about temptation. I want to give you some introductory thoughts concerning temptation. And then Sunday night, perhaps, maybe next Wednesday, I'm trying to decide. I've got a really neat title of a message that I want to preach. I haven't found a sermon to go with it, but I just love the title. And I'm thinking about preaching it. The title is this: I love you, but would you stop making it so hard? Isn't that a great title? I just got to figure out if there's any Bible to. I can get to join with it. But so you pray for me. I might preach that Sunday night. I don't know. Understanding temptation. Understanding temptation. John Wycliffe said this, the higher the hill, the stronger the wind. So the loftier the life, the stronger the enemy's temptations. And I wrote this in my Bible. I have a lot of quotes written in my Bible. This was an easy one, simple, so I wrote it. New levels, new devils. New levels, new devils. And the honest truth is the devil never does quit. I don't care for the most sage veteran, the most grizzled veteran here, the person that's lived a Christian life. You think the devil's just got to the point where he's given up on trying to take you out, mess you up, set you back? Temptation is part of life, folks, because we have an enemy. Now, let me just give you some introductory thoughts, and this will be the message. It's kind of like I'm going to give an introduction to all of the future messages so that we can start with our understanding temptation. That's the name of the message tonight, understanding temptation. Number one, temptation is common to all men. Temptation is common to all men. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. As a Christian, watch this, you will face temptation. Okay? Many of these temptations, especially for young people or young Christians, will be something that they face maybe for the first time in their life. And because you've never faced something before, you don't know how to deal with it or what to do with it. That's why a lot of times, come on, let's pray for our young people, okay? It's easy. If we're not careful, the easiest thing in the world gets to be, let's just sit around and pick at the teenagers here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Hey, okay, Einstein, let's get in a time machine and go check out your teenage years, all right? It wasn't easy. And you know why? I'm telling you why. Because a lot of things they're facing for the very first time. And when you face something for the first time, more times than not, listen, the devil's been doing this for millenniums, okay? These kids haven't been alive for millenniums. And so he's dastardly, he's practiced, he's evil. As Christina Hall told me the other day, the devil's a jerk. Yeah, he's a jerk, and he is. And you know what? He's been doing this a long time. And so young people, understand right off the out of the gates, you know what I mean? You're up against a tremendous foe, a very practiced enemy. And so one of the reasons I want you to really cue in is because the information I'm getting ready to give you, he does not want you to have. Because if you don't understand how this thing works, then you're pretty much easy pickings for the devil. So stay with me on this and watch this. First of all, don't get the isolationist attitude. Don't get the woe's me, I'm the only one that's ever gone through this. That's simply not true. And I don't care what it is. I don't care what you're going through. I promise you, you know, Ecclesiastes says there's no new thing under the sun. Okay, there's been Christians in times past that have gone through similar things. There's Christians right now on planet Earth that are going through similar things. And so don't, you know, here's a question. I'm just going to throw this out to you, and I won't say a lot about it. I'll just make you think about it. You ever heard somebody say when they're going through something, well, why me? Well, here's a question I've learned to ask myself. Why not me? I mean, in some ways, it's kind of like, I don't know, you know, I ought to be a mature Christian by now. I mean, I've been at this thing for a long time. A lot of things, Brother Harold, I just as soon face than one of these kids face. Honestly, if I could stand between them and temptation and take it for them, I'll do it. I'd rather the devil, watch it, I'd rather the devil attack me than anybody in my church. What's this why me stuff? What, you're supposed to just, you know, be born with a silver spoon in your mouth and spend your life on a bed of roses and never have a problem or any, come on. That's not how life works. So throw the why me stuff out. Why not you? Why not you? And so temptation is common to all men. The devil will come and he will tempt you. And so number one, temptation is common to all men. Number two, God has never tempted a man with evil. Now look at verse number 13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Now, let me divide the two definitions of temptation. If you were to look up the word temptation In, I'm talking about the original Greek word, you would find that it has a dual definition. Number one, the first definition is this, a putting to proof or a putting to test. A putting to proof or a putting to test. That is the first 12 verses. That means sometimes the Lord is going to allow, he doesn't do it, but he allows you to face some testings. In this case, the word temptation means testings. God literally is putting your faith to the test. And so that's talking about the burdens of life. That's talking about the problems of life. That's talking about the heartaches of life. Let's get down to where the rubber meets the road. That means financial problems. That means health issues. That means mental anguish sometimes. That means, you know what, people not being fair and people being mean and, you know, things happening that ought not happen. But guess what? They do. And so it's talking about having to go through trials. And we see the word temptation used a lot of times talking about going through the trials of life. When the verse starts out in verse number 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That's talking about diverse trials or testings. And so sometimes temptation is just the circumstances of life, burdens of life, heartaches of life. You're just going through tough times. And God allows that because he wants to strengthen your faith. Now, how many of you here would like to be a strong Christian? How many of you here would like to be a Christian? I would. I want to be a strong Christian. All right. I asked that question to a congregation one day, and I didn't do it because I'd have trouble lifting them anymore. But then I walked out the side door, picked up a pair of a barbell, and it had, I think, about 700 pounds on it. And I picked it up. Curled it several times, and then I walked in and said it, literally, I said it right across the pulpit like this. I said, how many wants to be strong Christians? Everybody raise their hand, go, now put the weight down. Now, how many wants to be strong Christians? Because the honest truth is, folks, you know what gets you the strength, you know what strengthens you as a Christian? The trials of life. Watch this, the burdens of life. Having to go through something you don't think you can go through. Having to lift something you don't think you can lift. Having to carry something. Watch this. Carry something for a while that you don't think you're able to carry. And so God allows those things to come into your life. By the way, I'm going to say this. Some people more than others. Now, everybody's going to face certain things. But I want to just encourage you. Some of you say, preacher, and I could sit here and I always hate picking out certain people. But there are folks that in our church that sometimes I just look at them and think, good night, they got their share and about 4 other people share, it seems like, of the heartaches and burdens of life. Now, I want to encourage you, look at verse number 12, because it's still talking about that, by the way. Diverse temptation, diverse temptations, many at one time, that's usually how they come. Look what it says here. Blessed is the man that doesn't say enjoy. Thank you, Jesus, amen, because they're hard doing, you know, it's not like we're enjoying it. God says, if you'll just endure it, he said, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that what? That love him. Now watch this. Well, everybody, this is why I'm here taught. The crown of life is given to people that love Jesus. No, the crown of life is given to people that have gone through diverse temptations and testings and not lost their love for Jesus. Okay, and these people are sitting all over our congregation. And you know what? Other people have faced less and quit on God. Faced less and are no longer in church. Faced less and now they're using it as an excuse the rest of their life to be mad and bitter at God because God's not fair. And you know what? My answer to that is, okay, explain to Tina Bovenshin. Explain to John Reiser, why is he sitting here tonight? Okay, I mean, he didn't ask to be born with this disease. Are you listening to me? Watch this. Explain to Bud Bovichin, how many times have you gone to the funeral home? And you're not planning another one anytime soon, I hope. All right, okay. I mean, folks, what in the world? I mean this, Brother Bud, with all my heart. I, every once in a while, I don't go down this road very far, but there ain't a man in here that hasn't number one, sometimes sit there and thought, you know, what would I do if something happened to my wife? And then number two, sometimes you'd think, I'm going to help that happen, you know, because, no, just kidding about that. Come on, if it was a room full of guys, they'd all be shaking their head, but now they're acting like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Now, we never give our wives a reason to contemplate homicide. We never give them a reason. But I really have. I don't go down this road very far, but I get to thinking to myself, man, what if something happened to Cheryl? And I'm just selfish in this. I'm just praying I go first. I'm just being selfish. And I think to myself, if somebody went through that once, how would you go on? And what I'm saying is this, and there's other people with other circumstances, and don't be upset with me if I missed you. I'm just saying, you know what? You're sitting here on a Wednesday night, and you've gone through a lot of stuff. There's going to be a reward one of these days. I'm talking about one aspect of temptation, right? We're talking about testings. We're talking about burdens. Now, some things are very obvious, like Brother Bud's gone through, and some things are very personal. And the person you may think in the room that has gone through the least, if you really knew their personal life, you may realize they've gone through the most. Okay? And what I'm saying is this. You know what? Watch this. I just feel like I got to say this. As Pastor Bellisle Baptist Church, thank you for those of you that have gone through tremendous stuff. And you know what? You're here. Hey, preacher, I'm not enjoying it. No, but you're enduring it. And you know what? You still love Jesus. You still love God. You still love God's house. You still love God's people. You haven't decided to go home, curl up in a ball of bitterness and spend the rest of your life, you know, living like a heathen because now you've got a reason because you had a tough time. Get off that nonsense. Thank you. I mean that. Thank you. You're an encouragement. Now, that's the first definition. Temptation is best defined as two ways, a putting to proof or test, and sometimes God's going to allow us to be put to the test so that our faith will grow. Number two, watch this, a solicitation or provocation to do evil. A solicitation or provocation to do evil. Now, folks, that's what it's talking about in verse number 13. It shifts gears here. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So we know that this particular usage of the word is talking about a provocation or solicitation to evil. We know that the first one in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. We say, how do I know which temptation? Look at the context. It'll explain it. Isn't it interesting? In the same chapter, two different ways it's used here. That's why context is very important when you read your Bible and study your Bible, okay? Now, folks, let's just establish this. Temptation is common to all men. I'm not the first one that's ever gone through this. Number two, God has never tempted a man with evil. Okay? Watch this, folks. Now, watch. If God's not the one doing it, then who is? All right, listen. Satan, one of the greatest of his many diabolical tricks is to try to get us to blame God for something that he's doing. Now, just get that. One of the first things that you need to do when you're being tempted is to understand. Now, we're going to see that it always involves an enticer. We're going to get to that Sunday night, unless I can come up with this message, or next Wednesday or something. But it always involves an enticer. Sometimes the enticer being used is another person. Sometimes there is no person. Jesus went to the wilderness, there was no other person. It was a direct satanic attack. Sometimes it's spiritual, sometimes it's natural. Sometimes God uses people, or Satan uses people. I'm saying the wrong thing. Satan uses people. And sometimes Satan comes himself or one of his demons. Okay? And so sometimes you can be tempted when you're completely by yourself, but guess what? When you're being tempted when you're by yourself, you're not by yourself. Now listen, one of the great things that have helped me in life is this. When you understand that, God didn't have anything to do with this. This is not of God. God has never tempted a man with evil. Then that leaves one person, the devil. okay, now I got to make a choice right now. Am I going to let the devil win or lose? Am I going to let the devil win? Am I going to give in to him? Am I going to give him a victory? Because he's really the one behind it. I don't care if it's one person, five people, or 20 people that might be his mouthpiece. It doesn't make any difference. God bless them. They're just people. Now, what they're doing, is it right? No, it's not right. But ultimately, it's the devil that's behind every single temptation. And you know what? I don't like the devil. Have I made that clear? I hate the devil. I want him to lose every time he can lose. I hate it when he wins. I hate it when he wins in my life. I hate it when he wins in somebody else's life. So when temptation begins to happen, the first thing I want to do in my heart and mind is say, devil, I want you to lose this. I'm not going to help you gain a victory. I want you to lose because I know you're the one doing it. Now watch this, folks. Remember, God would never solicit or provoke a man to do evil. There is one who is clearly identified in the Bible as the tempter who has been doing this very thing since the Garden of Eden. He is none other than the devil himself. Matthew 4:3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, isn't it interesting? Matthew 4:3. When the tempter, doesn't even use the word devil there. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the son of God. So who's the tempter? The devil is. Satan is. 1 Thessalonians 3:5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and your labor be in vain. James 1:13 emphatically exonerates God of any responsibility or involvement in tempting a man with evil. We see in James 1:17, you want to look at that, that God does just the opposite. He's credited with just the opposite. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of life, on whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So what God, this portion of scripture is saying, folks, if evil has come, or you're being solicited or provoked to do evil, God has nothing to do with it. If you're receiving a good gift, something blessed, that's what the Lord is involved with. And so don't get mixed up as far as who to blame. God is the source of every good and perfect gift. God is the Father of lights. In him is no darkness. God is forever consistent in this. He never varies from it, nor is tempted to vary from it. Never will God be the cause of evil. Never will this shadow his character. God is good and generous and is the ultimate source of every good gift you have ever received that is beneficial and helps you to Christ's likeness. Now let's just take God off trial. All right, take God off trial. Well, something good happens to you. Well, God is good. Well, let me tell you something else. When something bad happens, God's still good. Man, I had a great day. God's good. You know, well, if you have a bad day, God's good. Preacher, I had an unexpected financial blessing. Isn't God good? Yes, he's also good the day that you have an unexpected financial setback. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Now, just let's take him off trial. Let's take him off trial. Let's separate the enemy, who is Satan, from our Father, our generous and good God. You know what? Who sends us these gifts and blessings. Let's separate them and let's stop blurring the lines in between them, okay? So when temptation comes, a provocation or a solicitation to do evil, the first thing I think about is the devil's in the room. Okay? Either him or one of his minions are here. Come on, you say, preacher, this is a little spooky. There's nothing spooky about it. There's the invisible creation and the visible creation. There's things you can see and things you can't see. When you think you thought of it, you didn't. And all of a sudden, a thought popped in your mind. The devil wants you to think you thought of it. You didn't think of it. You know, he whispered it to you. And so, number one, temptation is common to all men. Number two, God has never tempted a man with evil. Number three, watch this. God will at times, and here's the biblical phrase, suffer you to be tempted. Suffer you to be tempted. Which means this, God at times allows Satan to tempt you. You say, well, preacher, doesn't that make it God's fault? No, because God will not do it. Now, it's very interesting. If we go back to the story of Job, matter of fact, let's go there real quick, and I won't belabor Job's entire story. You know that what happened to Job. God will never provoke or solicit somebody when it comes to evil, and he is not the one who even brings the heartache and the hurt and that comes with the testings of life. I want you to just kind of notice something here because I think it's interesting. And by the way, I know the preachers say this, but let's say it. Aren't you glad that the devil has to go to God and get a permission slip before he can do anything in the life of a Christian? Now, I want you to just, let's read real quickly from verse 6 to verse 12, and I want you to listen to the interaction between the devil and God, and then I want to point out something specific. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? For there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and sheweth evil." Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not thou made an hedge about him?" Thank God for the hedge, folks. Thank God for the hedge. There's one about you too. And about his house. Amen. You say, "Preacher, but we have some things." Listen, you got a lot less if there wasn't a hedge. All right, and there ain't nothing coming through that hedge unless God's got a purpose and a plan for it. And what the devil means for evil, God always turns to good. Now watch this. Now I want to show you something here. "Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." Now I want you to notice what the devil says. "But put forth" what?
Thine
hand now. Now you watch this. The devil is so blatant in being the tempter that he literally tempts God here. I mean, he's diabolical. Now, didn't the Bible just say that you can never lay at God's feet an accusation as far as evil being brought into somebody's life? But the devil says this: "Put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." Guess what? The Lord doesn't do that. He's never done that. Now, what's the Lord's answer? "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thine power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand." In other words, the Lord will say this: "I'll tell you what I'm going to do to prove a point. See, you think that he's faithful to me because everything's going great. I'm going to show you that he'd be faithful to me even though things go very, very bad. So I'm going to give you access. Now, with limitations. Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So what he said was this. He said, "I'll tell you what, you can touch and destroy anything that he owns, but you can't touch him." And by the way, the devil will go as far as God will let him go. You know, the only thing that's keeping me alive and breathing right now is the protective hand of God. You know, the devil is the destroyer. The devil is, the Bible says, he's a murderer. Okay? If it wasn't for God's restraining hand, you think this world's bad? Wait till the rapture happens and the Holy Spirit and Christians are out of here and there's no restraining hand. Okay? Now watch this. God said this. You know, the devil, how blatant, "Put forth thine hand." You know what the Lord says to Satan? "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now watch this, folks. You say, "Well, wait a minute. So it is the Lord's fault. I have a right to be mad at him." No, you don't. Because see, the devil is thinking, "I'm going to destroy Job." And the Lord's literally thinking this: "I'm going to use the devil to make a better Job." Okay. See, when the Lord allows the devil access, he does it for a reason. He does it for a purpose. The trying of your faith worketh patience. By the way, it builds your faith. It makes you stronger in the Lord. So the devil, listen, I want you to understand this. Even when the Lord allows access, he's doing it and will pull out of that good. And he'll only limit what he can do so that he can get the most good. And you know what? He won't lay anything on any of us that we're not able to bear. So I want you to understand that God will at times suffer you to be tempted. He allows Satan to tempt you, but only with his permission in very specific areas for very specific times for a very specific purpose that the devil's not smart enough to figure out, but the Lord knows what he's doing, okay? God will not, let me give you this thought again, will not allow us to face a temptation we cannot overcome. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, let me see if I can show you what just happened here. All right? There's only one that's going to ever provoke me or solicit me to do evil. He has to go get God's permission first. So he goes and gets permission. So now when I am solicited or provoked to do evil, boom, Jerry Ross now understands temptation. I understand two things are happening, not just one. I understand, first of all, that's not coming from God. The devil's in the room and he wants me to do evil. I also understand this. Watch this. God's 100% aware of it. The devil didn't sneak around God's back. The devil didn't sneak past God. The devil didn't sneak past God to get to me. He had to go get a slip. So not only is the devil in the room, watch this, God is witnessing the entire encounter. All right, watch this. That means when I'm driving, listen, I want you to make this where the rubber meets the road. That means when you're driving somewhere tomorrow, sir, and you pass a billboard that has something on it that shouldn't be allowed in the United States of America, it's so wicked and profane what they're putting on. You know what? The devil has been allowed to do that, and God is watching. It's just not the devil there. Didn't the Bible say, weren't we reminded, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee? Isn't that what Brother Hall reminded us? So folks, watch this. When something's being orchestrated like that, it's not like the devil got around God somehow and snuck up on us. God has allowed the devil some access because he wants you to be a stronger Christian and learn what it is to overcome temptation so that somebody else who maybe is struggling that's weaker, you can help them in the overcoming of temptation. So, hey, you know what? Another sermon I'm getting ready to study. I got the greatest titles on these sermons. But you know what? It's that time of year, okay? We're hitting the 80s. 80-degree mark, you know. Temperatures come off, go up, clothes come off. Gentlemen, ladies, I wish that we did not live in the reality of that situation, but we do. So guess what? It's not, young man, listen to me. Young man, listen to me. It's not by accident that you happen to be walking into the store at a certain time when a certain woman is walking out. And you know what? God's given the devil permission to do that, and now God is also watching. Now watch this. This gives me now two reasons. See, I hate the devil, but I love God. So not only do I not want the devil to win, I don't want to get devil to give the devil something that he can run back and throw into the face of my God. So whatever, watch this. All right, I won't cross any lines. But whatever little enjoyment you would have got out for 5 seconds of leering at that woman, was it really worth letting the devil win and giving the devil something to run back and spit in the face of God about you? I'm sorry, but it's just not worth it to me. Okay, so when temptation is happening, once you understand all that's happening at the same time, listen, God has allowed this. He's not doing it. The devil does it, but he's allowed it because you know what? Every time I could and I don't, I get stronger. I find out that, you know what? There's a Holy Spirit of God that can help me. And there's a God in heaven that can help me. And you know what? Bible verses memorized do work. And you know what? It's good to have your morning devotions. Thank you, Lord. It's good to be right with God. Thank you, Lord. It's good to have spent some time in prayer. Thank you, Lord. It's good to have the songs of Zion on my heart that I listen to in my car all the way over to Walmart. Okay? Now you listen to the other junk, then put yourself in that situation and tell me what you do. I'm just telling you folks, listen to me. You listen to country western all the way over there. Most of it is about this type of stuff. And you're already, you mean the pump's been primed. And what I'm saying is, man alive, understand what's happening. Understand what's happening, folks, because yes, the devil will at times suffer you to be tempted. But listen, and God at times will allow Satan to tempt you, but that doesn't mean that you ought to give in to it. I mean, that ought to give you more reason to want to do the right thing. The Lord has promised, watch this. The Lord has promised that he will never allow more temptation than we are able to endure. So the devil goes to the Lord and says, I'm going to do this to him. And the Lord said, no, you don't get to do that, but I'm going to write you a permission slip and you get to do this much. You know why? Because he knows what I can bear. All right, you're driving around Greene County. You're driving around through Indiana. Truck drivers, Brother Abel, pray for Brother Abel. By the way, pray for the farmers right now. I always do something in the springtime, and I kind of probably mention almost every spring, but you know, there's a lot of farm equipment on the road right now. You know what? Every time I see a piece of farm machinery and you get stuck behind them, I don't know why they won't drive 60, 70 miles an hour like the rest of us. I don't know what the problem is there, but listen, instead of mumbling, complaining, you know what? Just pray for the farmers at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Pray for the farmers in the field. You see an emergency vehicle, pray for whoever that is and pray for our EMTs. I mean, just let things trigger you to prayer instead of trigger you to aggravation. Okay, now what was I saying? All right, you're driving around. Okay, listen, folks, watch this. There are load limit signs on these bridges. Almost every bridge in Indiana, especially if you get back in the old country roads, has a load limit sign. Okay? You watch these truckers run up down 70. You know what they're going to run into before they get out of the state? Way stations. Okay? Why? Because that truck is designed to be able to pull safely a certain amount of weight. That trailer is designed to only carry so much weight. And so you know what they make them do? They make them pull in and they weigh them to make sure that they're not overloaded. Now guess who's in charge in our lives of the weigh station and the loading? The Lord is. And he knows what Jerry Ross can bear. And by the way, not all the trucks on the road have the same weight limit, do they? There's some trucks that are designed to carry, I'm going to speak stupid here because I have no idea. Help me, Brother Chad. What would be a light load truck? What would your truck? 18,000? What about Brother Abel's big semi? What can he put on there? You have any idea? 80,000? All right. So you got 18,000, you got 80,000. Okay. Now let me help you with each other. Folks, listen to me. Everybody's got a different weight limit. And by the way, I used to have a lot less weight limit than I got today. I like it when you grow in your Christian life and God sees that you can carry more. Come on now. Come on. You fold like a lawn chair every time a little bit of temptation comes. Do you know what? Pretty soon God can't, he's not going to trust you with you much. And you know, something that would blow one of these young men away or one of these precious young ladies, you know, I'm sorry, but I've carried a lot of loads. Come on, you've seen your saints. You watch these young couples struggle with something and you know what? You kind of laugh, but then you remember, yeah, at that age, that would have really blew me away. But now it just seems like, hey, amen, the sun will come up tomorrow and, you know, God's still good and praise the Lord. So what I'm saying is this. God says, devil, guess what? On that truck, you can only put that much weight. That, isn't that what it says here? God will not allow us to face a temptation we cannot overcome. There is no temptation taking you, but such is coming. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Oh, preacher, I just can't take this. You don't understand. I just can't. Yes, you can, because he wouldn't have put it on you if you couldn't. Just nod right there, amen. Yes, nod right there. You know what you're saying when you say, I can't take it? You're saying God made a mistake. God's never made a mistake. He just promised you he would not, listen, he's not going to let a provocation or solicitation to evil come into your life without also giving you an escape route. When somebody comes to me and says, well, preacher, you don't understand the circumstance, I just couldn't help it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You don't call God a liar. I just put the situation, there was no escape. Yes, there was. Don't call God a liar. You just didn't take the escape. We live in a society of victims. Everybody's got a victim mentality. You just don't understand. I'm different. No, you're not. You're made out of the same junk we all are made out of. And God's word didn't change the day you were born. And you know what? God has said something. I am not going to put more on you than you're able to bear. And I'm not going to let a provocation or solicitation of evil come into your life without also allowing you a way to escape so that you can be victorious. Yes, I can. Now, what are we doing when we're talking about understanding temptation? This is it. We'll review and go home. All right. First of all, you're not the first one. You're not the only one. Stop. Other people have faced the same thing. Some have come out victorious, and some have let it destroy them. Who are you going to be? All right. Next, stop being bitter at God. It's not God that's doing it to you. It's the devil that's doing it to you. And he had to go get a permission slip. And by the way, we talk about the one time that God granted permission to touch Job. How many times do you think that the devil comes to God wanting to do something to you or your family, and God says, absolutely not? We just see the one instance in the Bible, and we think, how many times? Watch this. How did the devil know there was a hedge there? Because he had run into it a bunch of times. It was the devil that brought the hedge thing up. He said, well, let me tell you why he's doing it. I can't get to him. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And the honest truth is, most of our life, when we get to heaven, we're going to find out that the devil, listen, 99% of the things he wanted to do to you and your family, he wasn't allowed to do. Stop whining about the 1% that God allowed to strengthen your faith and make you a better Christian and make you a stronger Christian. And by the way, he didn't just write a permission slip out, give it to the devil and walk away and ignore the situation. He wrote a permission slip, handed it to the devil, and he stood there and watched. So now you've got an opportunity. Watch this. If you're being solicited or provoked to do evil, there's two agents you need to be aware of. Devil is the one that's doing it, and so call him out on it. Please tell me I'm not by myself. Am I the only one that talks to the devil? I scream at him. I yell at him. I call him every name in the book that a Christian can use. No, I call him out. But doesn't the Bible say resist the devil and he will? We're to flee sin. The Bible says flee temptation. Flee sin, but it says resist the devil. You're never supposed to run from the devil. You are never supposed to run from the devil. Now you run from temptation. You avoid temptation. You flee temptation. Flee also youthful lust. Okay? But we spend all of our time running from the devil when we're supposed to make him run from us. And so all of a sudden you're in a moment and there's a temptation that comes to you. And this ought to be your mindset. You stinking devil. You stinking, hideous loser. You foul tempter. You've been doing this to the human race forever and ever and ever. But you know what? I've got a God that loves me. And you wouldn't even be allowed to do this if he wasn't. And by the way, he's watching this. And you know what? Listen, he probably, watch this. I'm going to encourage you. He probably was bragging on me. That's the only way he lets you test me. And I've been doing pretty good. And guess what? You're not messing this up. Okay? And by the way, devil, let's go over to Revelation. Let's read some verses together while you're here, okay? Because I'd like you to know, if you haven't, unless you've forgotten, That Revelation 20:10 says the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. Hey, that's where you're going, bud. I'm a child of God. I've been saved. They're building a mansion in heaven for me. I've got a God that loves me. His son died on the cross. Listen, you say you don't do this. Yes, I do. And you know what, folks? It's about time we stopped letting every little temptation that comes into our life waylay us. And we understand that, you know what? God has made a way of escape. Jesus used it. We'll get into some of that. Amen. And it's about time we, listen, stop letting the devil play with you. Stop letting the devil destroy you. Stop letting the devil trip you up. Listen, come on now. Isn't it time to stand up? Isn't it time to fight? Isn't it time to look him in the eye? Say, this ain't happening today. Now, you may get me on some weekday in the future. I'm not talking about being haughty, but you know what? This ain't happening today. Lord, thank you, dear God. Thank you that you're there even during the tough times. Thank you that you're there even though we got to live on this stinking earth where this lion walks around walking about seeing. Lord, please give me the strength. Help me to do right. Lord, help me to prove that I love you. And all of a sudden, pretty soon, the devil goes and finds something else to do. When I was 18 years old, finished my first year of Bible college, came home, worked the summer for a local contractor. I'm hanging ceiling tile in Hymera Elementary School. I'll bet that ceiling tile's still there. What do you think? It's been a long time ago. I'm hanging ceiling tile in Hymera Elementary School. Summer, and they're on a ladder. Got my pair of pliers, you know, drop ceiling guys, getting the tracks leveled out, ready to get it all tracked out, pop the levels. There by myself, working there the whole day by myself. And all of a sudden, listen, folks, you can be sitting there working on something with nothing around. I'm not talking about some woman came in. I'm not talking about I'm listening to something wrong on the radio. I'm talking about you're completely by yourself, and all of a sudden, your mind becomes flooded with the vilest. And I didn't know all the stuff I know now about temptation. That's why I want to teach our young people. But something occurred to me in a minute. I'm like, what? And I got mad. And I started yelling at the devil. Imagine some guy that's walking down the hallway, some janitor, Hymera Elementary School, and this young preacher's on a ladder, and I'm screaming. I am. And I turned around, and I took the pliers, and I threw them across the room at the devil. You say, how did you know where he was? I just figured he was in that general direction. I don't know. And then when I got done doing that, I kind of sat there on the ladder and thought, I think I'm going nuts. I'm losing my mind. I am screaming it, and I'm throwing tools. I mean, this is the kind of thing people do when they put you in, you know, the jacket that has the long sleeves on it. And I went back to Bible college in the fall. I went to a classroom, and one of the Bible teachers there was telling the story about Martin Luther and how the devil came to him one day and it was so real to him that he picked up his inkwell that he was writing and threw it across the room. And I said, oh, thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And you know what? I probably took my first step in understanding how to beat old smutty face. And you know what? Tonight, what I want you to do is take your first step. Because you don't have to lose. You can win. With God's help, you can win. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for helping us tonight. And Lord, I pray, dear God, you'd help us to understand a little bit of the background, some of the things that have to happen, that must happen, that leads up to temptation, the devil's part in it, God's part in it, our part in it. Lord, I pray, dear God, that even though we've just stepped kind of into an introductory lesson, I pray, Lord, that you would give us enough so that the rest of this week we can win some victories that normally we might lose. And help us in that, we pray in Jesus' name.